Isaiah tells us that the Makos were something called Nagof Rafu, right? Nagof Rafu, meaning it was a plague to the Egyptians and Rafuah for the Jews. That every Makkah that came down from the Mitzrayim was obviously a plague for the Egyptians themselves, and that they were affected by it negatively. But Bnei Yisrael grew, and they became better and greater every time a different Makkah happened. When Makkah Dam happened, that was one thing. They get to a bigger level. When Makkah Sardeh, they got to a higher level. And as time went on, finally they got to Makkah Bechoros. Makkah Bechoros led them up to the highest level. They were on such a high level, they had that. And really, this isn't a mindless idea. This is not just an automatic, the Mitzrayim were affected, so Mamela, the Jews, ended up becoming better people. It's not like that. That's not how anything works in this world. The world never works that way. The way our world works is that you have to think your way through it and to allow it to affect you, or else it doesn't. The Chafetz Chaim once asked many of the Talmidim that were by him. Rav Schwab at the time was a young man, 18, 19 years old. And Rav Shimon Schwab said that he was there. The Chafetz Chaim asked, what did the mun taste like if you didn't think of any food? What did it taste like? So everybody was silent. I would have said, Kitzapichis bidvosh. But then again, I don't think I would have spoken up in front of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim answered, it tasted like nothing. Because a ruchni food without thoughts, if you put no machshava into it, tastes like nothing. And that's true regarding anything as well. It's not an automatic refuah. It can't be an automatic refuah if you don't think about it, if you don't consider, if you don't make it part of your life, if you don't do something about it. So what did they do? So we know that Bnei Yisrael released from Avdus on Rosh Hashanah. That's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph. From Rosh Hashanah till the end of the year, they were released. They did not get involved. They did not have to work whatsoever when they were Mitzrayim for 6 months until they were freed on Purim. A little bit more than that, actually, 6.5 months. They had the leisure to sit at home and to think about things. They didn't have to go to work. The same way that they got food before, they got food now. I don't know how they got food when they were slaves in Mitzrayim. However it was that they got food then, the same thing happened at this point. They were able to sit down and they were able to look at the great wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for them. The makos that were going out right in front of their faces. They were able to sit down, look at them, and say to themselves, this is amazing. Do you see the Mida Keneged Mida over here? How they threw our babies into the Nile River so that the Nile River turned into a river of blood to show as if they had murdered the babies in the Nile River. The frogs coming out, it's unbelievable, the frogs coming out of the river to come, it must be to the Egyptians. We know the Egyptian mind was a magic-filled mind, filled with spirituality. They must have seen the babies coming back as reincarnations into tiny little frogs. Reincarnated little babies. The babies that they killed when the frogs were croaking all over, that reminded them of the babies' cries as they were throwing them inside the Nile River and killing them. This is a superstitious, magic-filled land. And that's what the Egyptians must have thought as they went through. The Jews sat there and they realized the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And of course, every person there asked, why is this necessary? Why do we need to go through this process of Makkah after Makkah after Makkah, of 3 weeks of respite in between the 1 week of a Makkah? Just bring us out now. Take all the Makkos, put 10 in a row, 10 weeks in a row, and just get rid of us right now. We can leave right at the end of Sukkot. We don't need Pesach. Leave right now. Of course they asked that question to themselves. And they said to themselves, they looked at each other and they said, well, there must be a purpose. There's got to be something here for us to be able to answer. So for 6.5 months, all the Jews, men, women, and children, the elders, the people that had no idea what was going on, and the people that did know what was going on, discussed it with one another. And they had discussions not only then, but in Goshen, throughout all of Goshen. There were probably leaders, the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, as well as Aram, going around to people, explaining to them, do you see that this would happen when people had the wrong type of thought? They sat there and they said, that's not pshat, this is pshat. It's literally like thinking, going through Goshen during those 6.5 months, it was a predecessor to them receiving the Torah and learning Torah. Because that's really what they were doing. They had nothing else to do. It's amazing. Because nobody speaks about this, except for Victor Miller, of course. But nobody speaks about this. But that's all they were doing for 6.5 months. Not being affected, realizing they weren't being affected, and try to figure out why are each one of these 10 makos necessary. And that's what it became. A nugget for a food. The answer is obviously the Bnei Yisrael on a very low level. For them to leave Mitzrayim after the first Makkah, or after 10 Makkahs in a row, or after, I don't know, one massive Makkah, where all the Egyptians would have been drinking blood while being eaten by frogs, while having lights in their hair, while wild animals are chasing after them, and their cattle are dying, right, and boils start growing everywhere, right, while it's dark, and there are locusts everywhere, and then the firstborn all die, would have been unbelievably cool. That would have been a great 6 days or 7 days. But they realized there has to be a preparation not for them, but for us. Those makos could affect them. And maybe the Mitzrayim, maybe they had something, and maybe that punishment would be deserving for them to have it all at once. But for us, we can't leave now, said Bnei Yisrael. And that was their thought process. We're not ready yet. We can't be ready yet. If we were ready, we would leave right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken us out in a second. If God is all-powerful, there is no need to wait even a second. We don't need makos, we don't need anything. He would have just taken us out. But this is a tova. This is a good thing for us to consider, for us to work, to try to do harder. And that's what it means. They thought to themselves, more and more, and they said to themselves, you know, now that I look at it, slavery, when it's all done, said and done, made me into a different person. I now know what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Because I know what it means. See, a person who's never experienced going to the army, right, if you've never experienced it, like I haven't, right, and you haven't gone to the army, you don't really know what it means to wake up in the morning and literally be scared out of your mind that a drill sergeant is going to kill you. You have no idea what it's like to not make your bed perfectly and then get yelled at afterward. You don't know what that means. Even when you're married, you might not know what that means. Right? You just don't know. But if you go to the army, you spend some time there, you do something wrong, you're beaten. Or you're peeling potatoes. Or whatever they do nowadays. I don't know. Maybe they take away your phone. Whatever it is, you don't know. When you're filled with a world where you can do whatever you want, and then you just go into a base medrash, well, of course you're going to continue doing whatever you want. They looked at their lives and they said this avdus was necessary. Even the Yisurin had a positive effect at the end of the day to change our mindsets into that of, we need a master. We need someone in charge. We need someone helping us, telling us what to do, to help us along the way so that we don't become little mindless drones just doing whatever we want. Part of that is the Mida Keneged Mida, but that's the purpose. There was a period of rest in order to examine the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to realize what He had done, to know the Mida Keneged Mida, talk about the Nisim, realize what their avdus was all about in the first place, and realize what they had become because of it. It's an amazing period for them. I just want you to think of anything in your mind where you've had an extreme bout of Ashkacha process and you just want to tell over that story. You want to say, like, you'll never believe what happened to me, and you want to say it over to somebody. Well, the people were experiencing that daily. Understanding how there were lions in the street and they weren't eating them. You'll never believe what I saw. I saw a bear and a snake and a lion all in the street right opposite me, but they all ran and got the Egyptian and they didn't get me. You sat there at laning and there was just that line of Birkas HaGomel. Like in the first day of yeshiva when you go to Eretz Yisrael and there's 50, 60 guys that are all lined up ready to say, and everybody's answering back. Every Jew experienced that every single day of the Makos. Every day of the Makos. I had a cup of blood in my hand and it turned into water right in front of me. I had frogs that were all around, none of them came anywhere near me, and everywhere I walked, the frogs moved out of the way. They all experienced it. So it was a nugget for the Egyptians who did not think about a thing, who didn't consider any of the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, who didn't realize why they were getting punished in the first place, who blamed other people for their own problems and saying it was his fault and their fault and they did something wrong and never put the blame on themselves. For them, it was a negev. There was nothing to be learned from. There was no respite for them. It was a negev. For a foe for the Jews. An ability for them to heal themselves, to look back and realize what they had gotten, and because they thought about, because they did think, they were the ones who were able to gain from it and do something as well. Now you should know, as a side note, the Egyptians were also given one time where they were allowed to think about things. Really two, but one main time where they were allowed to think about things with their entire family. It was by Arov. Consider that for a second. Wild animals are coming everywhere, right? So where do the Egyptians go? They locked themselves in their houses. and they could do nothing else other than sit there with their families and try to keep themselves sheltered. Well, that was a time where they could have considered and they didn't. That's why it became a negative, because they didn't consider this. And this is the basis of all of our efforts. This is what we're doing in a basement of Shittim. This is what Azman is like. See, Azman, we work hard, we learn stark, we try to gain, we try to build ourselves up, and we try to understand what the Gemara is trying to tell us, but that is not it. There has to be a time to sit there and think about, how is this going to affect the rest of my life? What am I going to do with this information about cows and, I don't know, buildings and everything else that we're learning about, even Hilchos Shabbos that doesn't necessarily apply to us nowadays because we don't have Siyuv Chatos. So how does this apply to me? What am I going to do with this? How am I going to use it? See, people think of yeshiva as, I can go 3 hours straight, and then I got to take about an hour and a half break, right? And then I can go another couple hours, and then I got to take another break. And then I go ahead and I learn another couple hours, and then another big break, and when I can go to sleep. And that you have a morning theater, an afternoon theater, a night theater. But it's not that way. Bena Sarim, in between your seder, is not about, you need to go chill out, so go chill out. In business, you don't get a Bena Sarim. You don't get it. You'll get a lunch break, maybe, but that lunch break is still, you got to hurry back and get back, because there is no real time to be able to sit there and whatever and relax. And yeshiva should at least be like work, shouldn't it? So why do we give a person 2 hours, 3 hours? What, it's that difficult? It's that difficult to put your head in the Gemara, to be able to sit there and think and whatever it is? And granted, it should be that difficult, but do we really need that break? Why don't we just go 12:30, then 15 minutes later we come right back inside, you're in 12:45, we start second seder. We add on another hour and a half. Why wouldn't we do something like that? Because we need, and the yeshiva system was built with this, we need a system in which we can think about what we just did. Not to chill out, or to play mindless games, or even to sleep. That is not the point of a Bena Sarim. A Bena Sarim is to consider, where am I now? Now that I finished another 3 hours of learning, another marathon, now what do I do? What's my next step? Where do I go next? And a Bena Zman is the same way. You go through the whole Zman. You finish everything you've done. And after you finish that Zman, you sit there and you say, so now where am I? Am I a better person or a worse person for what I just did over the last 3 months? And if I'm a worse person, what am I doing here? Why am I here? If I keep going down from doing what should be bringing me up, then let me get out of here. I don't belong here. The truth is, you don't. This is a place where you're supposed to grow. This is a place where you're supposed to consider how you're going to grow. So Bena Zman is not about just taking time off, vacationing, sitting with a little drink in your hand, basking in the warm glow of the freezing cold outside. That's not what it's about. It's not about taking trips. It's not about really just sitting there and doing nothing. That's not what it is. We wouldn't have it otherwise. You wouldn't have it. The point of a Bena Zman or a Bena Sarim is to consider where your next step lies. What is it for me? What can I gain better? What can I do better in order to make this happen? And if you can't think of a single thing, there are rabbeim that are there to help you figure out what you can work on, so that your Bena Zman becomes productive and your next Zman becomes even greater. That's the point. My phone still works during Bena Zman. Still works during Bena Sarim. It's still there. It's still always available. I'm assuming that the other rabbeims are as well. Not positive, but I'm assuming at times that they're going to be on. The point is to be able to get you to the next level. The point is, this is the time of the Makos, the 6.5 months that span where we get to consider what Hashem has done for us and what we can do better, etc. We can do this or we can't. To think to ourselves, where my chakras, Mincha and Marv, is going to be over Bena Zman. What am I going to do? What's my Lechachila? What's my B'dievet? And what's my, I made a mistake? If my lechatchila is a 9 a.m. chakras minion every single morning, there's no room for a b'dievet there. Do you notice that? If your lechatchila is a 9 a.m. chakras, there's no b'dievet. What the b'dievet is, you're staying at home, you're davening by yourself. That's not an option. That's not an option. You have to daven with a minion every single day. That is a chiyuv. So you have to daven with a minion. So your lechatchila is, you want to get up at 7 o'clock, 7:30, to go to the same chakras you do all year long, hopefully. Your b'dievet is, if I miss that, I'll go to an 8 o'clock, a later minyan. A minyan is a little bit later. My b'dievet, if I totally miss everything, alright, then I have to go to a 9 o'clock minyan. and I waste my entire day because the time I get out and the time I eat breakfast, whatever, it's already 10:30. What are you going to do the rest of the day? Your whole day is shot. There's nothing left. It's going to be dark in about 12 minutes. It's just not worth it. And then you sit there and you consider, forget about chakras. Where are you Mincha Maariv? You know Mincha Maariv is going to come up when you least suspect it. There is no 1:45 or 12:30 right after Shir to be able to get you. So you have to go to a Mincha. What time is Mincha this week? What time is regular Mincha in a regular shul? You have one more day to figure it out. One more day. And if you don't know, and I know there's an app somewhere for it, so you can look it up. But you have to look it up. If all of a sudden you're looking at the sky and you're like, man, that's really dark. I had no idea that it gets so dark at 4:45. It's because you just missed Mincha. You just missed it. So you have to consider, where am I going to be at every day? What am I going to do? How is my day going to be set up so that I can make Mincha? At a 12:30 minute, a 1:30 minute, a 1:45, at a 4 o'clock, where am I going to be? You have to have that in your head to begin with. And then a Maariv. What am I going to do? Am I going to have to leave my family dinner in order to go down the Maariv? Am I going to have to forego, Farshan, please say yes, forego this movie? Because if I do that, I'm going to miss Maariv with a minion? What are you going to do? You have to make these considerations now. And that's what a Ben Hazdarim is all about. That's what a Ben Hazmanim is all about. Consider, where am I next time? But if you're using it as just a chill-out session, or just a time where you're just not doing anything, then of course, you're going to come back here in a week and a half, you're going to be like, what am I doing here? And you're right, I have no idea what you're doing here. I have absolutely no clue. I can't answer that question for you, because there really is no answer to that if you don't make the decision yourself what you want to do and how you want to go about it. That really is the basic concept of the Makos and why we're told about them. You could have skipped all these parshos and just ended off with, and the Egyptians went through a lot of tsaros, and there was Kriyas Yam Suf. We don't go through what happened to the four kings when Avraham destroyed them, and how he destroyed them, and the different Yisurim that they might have been under. We don't go under what happened during the 31 kings when Yeshua walked in and destroyed all 31 nations of Eretz Canaan. We don't say what happened to them. We don't go through any of the plagues that happened to Sennacherib when Sennacherib was waiting with an army 185,000 strong outside Yerushalayim. We don't go through any of that. But we do explain what happened to the Egyptians. Because that wasn't about them, it was about us. It's about creating us into a nation of thinkers and of doers. People that wanted to be there by Matzah Torah. They were able to build themselves up from the 49th level of Tumah to become people that wanted to be on the 49th level of Kedusha and Tahara. They wanted to be there. And that's what it became. So it's not about them. It's about what we do to make our lives worth it, to make our lives something that's there. Listen, it's your life, obviously, and it's your call. I don't understand. How could a person choose the life of Naguf, where everything you do and everything that happens to you is a plague and terrible, and I can't understand it because you don't have a plan at all, versus a life of Rafu, where you see everything as a Rafu. And you see that, granted, I got a Makkah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping me all the way because I had a plan, and my plan in the end went through. You have that choice to choose not to think or to think. So think. Why wouldn't you think? And consider. You have a week now to really consider, what am I doing and what am I doing to get there? What else do I need to do to get there? I realize that there are people here that probably need to hear this more than some of the people that are sitting here right now. I do realize that. I find that opportunities are squandered quite a bit and they're lost quite quickly. Take this as an opportunity to realize for yourself that you have an extra day and a half that they don't have, where you can work on yourself, make yourself a better person, and create a Ben Hazmanim that you should be proud of. You can create that now. You have your choice with what to do with it. I leave you with that choice.